Today I want to ask the question, are your religious beliefs killing you or enlivening you? If you consider the current political campaign in the United States, it's a pretty amazing process, isn't it? I'm a big fan of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. It is a wonderful, and actually I believe to be the most wonderful book in my collection of about 900 and some books. It contains such great wisdom that is beyond the average thinking. Certainly it was beyond my thinking. And what's interesting is this current political campaign validates a lot of information that is presented in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. In one of the nine letters, Christ outlines the ego's four driving needs that express through the human personality. And when you look at the behaviors of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and other people that had previously been trying to get the nomination for the president, you see amazing descriptions and amazing examples of those four driving needs. I'll just briefly outline them. The first one is to defend the self from criticism, emotional, physical attack. Donald Trump is known for having an amazingly thin skin, so anytime anybody criticizes him or doesn't give him adulation, which I guess he interprets as criticism, he counterattacks in vicious ways. And other candidates did the same thing throughout this process, trying to get the nomination. The second driving need is to try to come in first in the race of life, pushing other people aside to get what you want. And again, when you see these people in debates attacking one another, criticizing one another, lying about what they've done and lying about what the other person has done, you'd go, wow, these people will do anything to come in ahead of the other person. The third is to take the best for ourselves despite the opposition of other people. And this idea, certainly in the last couple of days, about Donald Trump's treatment of women and looking at his history of bankruptcies and distortions and some would say the scam of the Trump University, you see that taking what he wants, and he's not the only one, it is amazing what ends people will go through to get what they want. They will do just about anything to anyone in order to take what they want. And they'll try to prevent other people from having it. And the fourth one is to hold on to what has been acquired, status, power, influence, money, property. You don't have to be a political candidate to have that going on. Most of us have experienced that, our protectiveness of our money, our property, our space, our ideas. We will fight, battle, and on a higher level will even kill other people in order to maintain our beliefs. Christ in the letters says that there is ample proof, and I would agree with this for sure, as I agree with most everything that I've come across that I can understand, is that today's religions, the standard religions in the world, Jewish religion, the Christian religion, the Islamic religion, are incapable of really helping the members of those religions to elevate their consciousness. It is really a very low-level approach to things. And if you look at that and notice some people say, I'm a Christian, but then turn around and will support somebody who displays not one single Christian value in his behavior. And it's like, wow, how is that possible? But the religious beliefs that I want to talk about are just three. I'm sure there are many more that could be added to this list, but I'm going to talk about three. That there are three major concepts in Christianity, two of them from the Jewish Bible, and one from the New Testament that have caused tremendous harm in the world for more than 2,000 years. Maybe the first and maybe the most important disharmony that has resulted in hurt and suffering and harm to the family of man has to do with our relationship with females. Now, you don't need me to tell you that Hillary Clinton is running for president of the United States, and she's a woman. She's a female. And if you will do any kind of reading or evaluating of this situation, you will recognize that consistently women are held to different standards than men. If a man gets angry, he says, he's even a child. Oh, he's a boy. Oh, he's a man. That's what they do. But if a woman does that, it's like, wow. Oh, she's a bitch. She's rude. She's crude. She's... And all kinds of different adjectives are applied to her, all meant to diminish and disempower her. When you look at what's going on in the United States, and I suppose this is true in pretty much every culture on the planet at this point, that sexism is validated when you look at the studies of women trying to get ahead, trying to run for political office, trying to advance in corporations, that they've run into a lot of resistance when they do that. Interestingly enough, as soon as they succeed, then they get higher rates of approval. So just imagine this. If you are a woman and you're running for political office, you're going to be demeaned and disapproved of tremendously relative to a man. But as soon as you get elected, your approval rating will go way high. It is the striving for something outside of, quotes, the normal system, quotes, of a woman, that the population, not only men, but women also, resist. Don't rise above your station. And therein lies a problem. When we think that there is a limited station that is appropriate for women. And that's one of the problems I'm talking about. I don't have to go into much detail to say that Donald Trump has numerous issues with women. In fact, his issues are legendary, and the more are being revealed on a daily basis that are disgusting, sickening, upsetting, insane, really, really scary. And one of those points of view that he seems to demonstrate is that females have no right to protect themselves, protect their own boundaries from his predatorial behaviors. And they have no right to deny what he wants. If he wants a woman, even if she's with a man, even if she's married, he sees it as his right to go after that woman. And he does. And you're like, how is that possible that a man can think like that? Well, some people would describe as a senator did the other day in a comment, that Donald Trump is a sociopath and, you know, doesn't think like normal people. Yep, I would agree with that. So, what is the first really damaging religious belief? And I think this is true whether you're a female or you're a male. And it was that we bought into this Jewish belief that Eve was responsible for the downfall of man in the Garden of Eden by listening to a talking snake and encouraging Adam to take a bite out of the apple from the tree of knowledge. You go, wow, that's, okay. If you don't think about that, maybe you can accept it, but if you think about it, it's like, really? This somehow doesn't really make mistakes. It doesn't hold up to reason. You mean to tell me that this all-knowing God put these two innocent people in a Garden of Eden with a talking snake and told them what not to do? You know, psychology 101, as soon as you say, don't do this, don't drink that wine, don't smoke cigarettes, don't, pretty much every child is instantly going to want to do that. Today we know that, and it's like, and this all-knowing, all-loving being didn't get that point of view, didn't understand that? Yeah, that's kind of weird, right? around and look at what has happened since then. And by the way, women didn't write the Bibles. Men wrote the Bibles. So there were particularly, I'll say, biased point of view. Now, some of you would be freaking out and going, no, it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. Well, God didn't actually write the Bibles, people. He didn't actually write the Bibles. First of all, there is no only He. Oh, really? I thought God was a He. Yeah, look around and notice that 50% of the human species is female. It's like, God is only male. Well, why did He create 50% females? Yeah, yeah. And you'll stumble over that a little while, and maybe your head will explode, or you'll just put your head into the sand before it does explode. Blaming a woman for life being hard has been used to justify all kinds of treatment, unfair treatment, terrible treatment of women. We can abuse women. Why? Because they're not really like us. They're less than men. We've, over the thousands of years, we've dominated, raped, murdered females as if it's, you know, not a big deal. Because, again, we've been able to demonize females. Anybody knows this that thinks a little teeny bit about war. That if you want to go to war and you want to convince people to kill other people, the first order of business is to brainwash or inculcate an attitude that the enemy is less than human. They're not the same as us. And they fill in the blanks. We've done that to everybody we've ever wanted to slaughter because they had what we wanted. We didn't slaughter the Native Americans because they believed differently than us. We slaughtered the Native Americans because they had land and we wanted it. They had property and we wanted to own it. We didn't go to Iraq because we wanted to protect the Iraqis from Saddam Hussein. We went to Iraq because Iraq had oil and we wanted it. The same thing about the first Iraq war. They went into Kuwait and we want to protect this dictatorship in Kuwait that is so unfair to so many people. We want to protect it. No, we didn't. We wanted to protect oil supplies. It was about money and oil. So you look at this idea that we've used this Adam and Eve myth in order to devalue females and make them less than us, less than males. It pretty much justifies all the unfair treatment that we deliver to females, whether those females are co-workers or girlfriends or wives or daughters or mothers or you name it. We can demean them. Why? Because they're less than. I mean, it's obvious because of what Eve did. This plays out in corporate America, in corporations, industry, even government, less so with government nowadays because of political pressure from the population, that the glass ceilings that says women can't rise above a certain level because no good reason. I had a former father-in-law, he's now deceased, who said to his daughter, you can't be as smart as your brothers because you get your period. Now you can imagine that is not the most enlightened point of view. I can't be smart as my brothers because I get my period? You mean my creativity, which my period is indication thereof, makes me unbelievable sexist comment that is beyond stupidity. And a lot of religions, I'll say two of them anyway, back in the day, the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox, if a girl has her period, she can't receive Holy Communion because she's unclean. Maybe because she has a period, she's unbelievably clean. Maybe this is a cleansing thing. Well, because men wrote the rules, it's interpreted in a certain way. You can look at cultures in India, China, you can, in America, pretty much anywhere, Europe, maybe even Africa, that sons are valued more highly than daughters, even if the daughters are more accomplished, even if the daughters have more on the ball than the men. You give me a 5-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, I'll tell you which one is likely to be much more capable than the other. There's no surprise there. Girls are more highly developed at an early age, and it's only when we culturally, educationally, societally hold them back and start pigeonholing them into, oh, girls can't do that, don't express your emotions, don't get mad, don't get aggressive, don't get athletic, don't get everything, just be docile and less than, the way we hold you in our own imaginations. Fortunately, in some of the cases now, with laws being passed that ensure equal opportunity in terms of athletics in high schools and colleges, that now all of a sudden we see women amazing physical capabilities. Like, gee, they just developed these in recent years. They haven't had these for 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 years. Wow, that's amazing. No, they had them, but they were sublimated. They were suppressed by the societies in which they lived. If you think less of yourself because of your female, or you think less of females and because you're a male, think again. Anybody can see this. You'd have to be blind and really have a head like cement in order to recognize or refuse to recognize that the playing field is tilted in favor of males. And you can take this, it's tilted in favor of white males in America. And it's tilted in favor of older white males in America. And if any of that seems like a surprise, you go, oh, gee, I never thought of that. It's like, time to think again. But if you're a female and you're a male, if you've got wives and daughters and you're a wife or a daughter or a sister or a mother, you bring amazing capabilities to anything that you engage in. And one of the first order of business is, in order to overcome some of these religious beliefs, is to recognize your value as a person. You bring creativity and caring and nurturing to situations that you engage in that males typically are not geared to deal with. If you look at electricity, more like a male characteristic, and magnetism, more like a female characteristic, although we have both of them in each of us, we're electromagnetic, you'd say, wow, women are so creative because they can draw to them whatever is necessary in order to bring something into physical manifestation. And the men, if they understand what they're doing and see the opportunity to contribute the how to the what that's established by a woman, can add their electric energy to the situation and draw things into physical manifestation. I probably don't need to go into much detail like sex 101, but when a seed is planted in a woman by a man, the woman from that point on does all the magnetic drawing to herself, and the fetus, the fertilized ovum, everything necessary to bring that fertilized ovum into physical manifestation. The man can go off after that. The deed has been done, the seed has been planted, and it's been received, and now it can grow. But the growing doesn't really require the man, unless he's wise enough to be a good provider. Nurture his wife, nurture the woman, nurture the baby, create a safe and secure environment in which this physical manifestation can start to grow and ultimately express after 39 weeks, 9 months or so. Now you turn around and go, that's amazing. Men can't create that baby in the sense that a woman can. We can certainly contribute our genetic material to it, but the whole process, the most creative, the most loving, the most caring, the most nurturing, we rely on females to do that. And it doesn't have to only be a baby, a little physical baby with hands and feet and toes and fingers. It can be any idea that needs to be brought into physical manifestation. And who decides that? The female, and little help from the male. Causes, businesses, corporations, families, countries, all kinds of organizations are brought into physical manifestation because of the availability of females contributing their magnetic, loving, nurturing, caring energy to the process. When you think of it, what can we do to overcome some of this? It's Eve's fault, and I can harm or belittle or demean or disrespect females because of what she did in the Garden of Eden. First of all, wake up. It's time for all of us to love who? Love our mothers, love our grandmothers. When you look at our mothers and you look at our grandmothers and all that they contributed to us, whether it was one thing or a million things, because of what they did, here we are. Here we are. And we didn't do it on our own. We did it because they brought us into physical manifestation. And if we've got wives and we've got daughters and we've got sisters and we've got cousins and we've got girlfriends and we have co-workers and friends, it's time for us to give them the attention, respect, and appreciation which comprise love. Oh, I love you, and then don't give attention or respect or appreciation is bull. It's baloney. It's false. It's a lie. It's like people saying, I'm a Christian, and then they do absolutely nothing at all that resembles Christ in any way. If we can learn and choose, really, it's not that complicated, people. If we can choose to give attention, respect, and appreciation, their habit patterns, to the females in our lives. And if you're a female, give it to yourself and other females in your life. Because if we don't do that, we disadvantage all of us. When you look at the world and its condition, you'd go, oh, it's kind of messy. It's nasty. It's war here, war there, war everywhere. It's incredible starvation here. Obesity is a problem there. And you're like, wow, unbelievable. You see, this is this disproportionate, availability of energy. Is when you look at that, people say, "This is, the world can't support the population as it exists." It's like, people, it's one of distribution much more than it is insufficiency or scarcity. I happen to be in a resort in Mexico where a lot of Americans are here, and the number of people that are obese, morbidly obese, around the swimming pool is astonishing to me. Like, whoa, holy moly. I was at another resort just recently down here in Mexico. Fewer Americans, and guess what? Fewer people that were obese around the swimming pool. So the biggest problem in America is obesity, and other places in the world, it's starvation. It's like, there's not enough food. Well, hell, the Americans certainly have found a refrigerator in their stoves and their pantries. Yeah. If we don't come to terms with balancing our relationship with females, we disadvantage us all. And here's the problem with hating a woman. Every one of us is at least 50% female. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's say, yeah, my mother and my father, yeah, one was male, one was female, which says I have male energy and I have female energy. And when I hate females, I'm hating half of me. And when we belittle females in front of our children, we are fragmenting them into pieces. Why would we do that? Only ignorance and superstition and buying into the bullshit of Adam and Eve, and it was Eve's fault. Women don't get paid equally. Big things going on now politically talking about this. And they're not wanted. Women aren't wanted except for sex or housekeeping. It's like, yeah, okay. What? Women don't get promoted equally. She's a woman. She might at some point get a period, or she might want to have children, so, you know, that really is bad news. And that list can go on and on. I saw this quote the other day that says, despite Donald Trump's comments that were revealed about his assaulting and pushing himself on women, whether they wanted it or not, because he was a celebrity, evangelical Christians, and I will bet evangelical Christians that are, we're talking about males, we're not talking about female evangelical Christians, we're talking about males, have made peace with Donald Trump's words and behaviors before now. So they overlook this most unchristian, maybe it's not unchristian, because he has a right to do this. He has dominion over women because, we're back to Eve. That naughty, naughty Eve. It's time for us to wake up. The second terrible religious influence I want to talk about is the myth that a God talked to Abraham and tested his obedience by telling him to kill his own son. Okay, God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to kill my own son. Imagine somebody said today, you know what? God talked to me today, and he told me I should prove my obedience to him by killing my own son. Oh, well, gee, that's just like the Bible, so I guess it's probably true. No, what we would do is arrest that guy, confine him, have him tested psychologically or psychiatrically, and we would remove the son from the home in order to protect him from what we would certainly consider insane behavior. But obedience to an authority, there's something. That's the Judeo-Christian religion. Obedience to authority. The willingness of people all over the Judaic Christian world to sacrifice their sons and now sacrifice their daughters to an authority's dictates in what I'll say is servile obedience is what makes war so profitable for men in positions of authority. You have to obey. You know, you got to obey. And somebody over some other place on the planet is a bad guy, and they're trying to kill our children. Oh, well, so are we. They're trying to rape our women. Oh, so are we. They're trying to thwart our way of life. And consequently, we have to send your sons and daughters to go over there and either kill them or die in the trying. And you must obey authority, because if you don't, you're unpatriotic, you're un-Christian, you're unkind, you're un-American, you're un... And every country that pulls that trick on its population is saying the same thing. We want to send our young men and women to die on our behalf, for our profit, so we can keep our power, our status. We eliminate competition for our positions of power. Look at Congress in the United States and look at how many of these people have been in their seats for 10, 20, 30 years. Old men, old women. What for? What good do they do? Well, because the people that should be challenging them for these positions have been killed in battle. Oh, what a shame. No, it is not a mistake. It is not an error. It's a calculated process. The men sending sons and daughters to kill and to die, it's just a coincidence that they're not sending their own sons and daughters. They're sending your sons and daughters. Amazing. It's amazing. And the ego, when you look at these four driving needs, is obviously driving men to create war, death, and profit and power and influence without regard for other people. The third belief that I think is the most damaging to humankind, and this is the foundation of standard Christianity, is that somebody else can be tortured, scourged, and murdered in a sacrificial way, and this will remove all of our individual responsibility for what we have thought, felt, said, and done. Wow, the great eraser, kill somebody else. And when you look at this, this is still going on. People sacrifice animals to God. And if we look back at some of what we consider to be pagan religions, they're sacrificing people and to gods. Oh, they're sacrificing animals to gods. Muslims sacrifice camels and other animals. And it's like, that's what Allah wants. Allah wants one of his creations to be sacrificed to, and what does that prove? It proves that people will do damn near anything based upon myth and superstition. When you think about this, Jesus died for your sins. I used to think as a child, how did he know I had sins? I'm a little boy. How could he have died for my sins? It's an eraser that, well, it's erasing stuff that I haven't yet done. Yeah, wow, that's an amazing eraser. Erases responsibility and culpability and the effects of what I did and didn't do. Yep. Are you sure? Yep. Aren't you fortunate to be a Catholic? Aren't you fortunate to be a Christian? Yeah, other people don't have this eraser. Boy. And how do you get this eraser? You just say, I believe in Jesus. That's it? Mm-hmm. That's it? Yep. I believe in Jesus. Like, oh, that's pretty amazing. When you look back at it, though, if you do any kind of research, you'd go, wait a minute. That's not Jesus is saying that. That Paul invented that. Paul was the great marketer of Christianity. And in the early days, the people that were promoting Christianity, and Christ, rather, were trying to convert Jews, not Gentiles. They didn't want Gentiles. It's like, they're inferior beings. But then after a while, they're like, you know what? There's a big market share that we're not attacking. We got to go after the Gentiles, too. And they did. But Paul was the great marketer. Jesus was divine. And the only Son of God, what does that mean? And God only can make one son. And on one planet in the universe, just planet Earth. Oh, that's how it works? Yeah. So the divinity of Jesus was marketing. And Jesus talked about being the Son of Man. He must have meant something else. Well, I mean, even though the Bible has been distorted and retranslated hundreds of times by people over the couple of thousand years, it's still looked upon as the Word of God. Which version is the Word of God? It's. And how was it written? Men wrote it, right? God whispered in their ears or inspired them. They channeled God and wrote this and then translated it and didn't influence it at all with their political beliefs and their belief that women were inferior to men, which has been a foundation of the Jewish religion for thousands of years. Women are less than men. And this idea that tell a child, your sins are forgiven because you believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. Okay, good. Now go out and, well, I should say sin no more, but what the hell? It doesn't really make any difference because you said you believe in Jesus. That means that eraser is always available to you, unlike the infidels. Oh, okay. And so this denial of responsibility, this denial of the law of cause and effect, made us ignorant of how do things happen? We cause them. And the things that happen are the effects. But if we don't learn those things, it's like saying to a child, there's no such thing as the law of gravity. When you drop an egg, it falls to the floor. If you're a good person, that egg won't break when it hits the floor. Or, frankly, if you're a good person, it won't even fall. If you're a good person, you won't drop it. But if you're a bad person, but all you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and then somehow the effect won't be there. Okay. Going through life not understanding gravity, can you imagine how difficult that would be? Yeah. I think it's time for us to wake up to these realities. I would say that if you can buy into the idea that God is not a man up on a cloud pulling strings, trying to talk us into obedience or punishing us if we're not obedient, which is a big, big Christian belief right about now, you'd go, maybe this power, this not only man, this male-female energy, this divine consciousness, this all-loving, all-creative power is interested in the well-being of its creations. Huh. If it's interested in the well-being of its creations, why don't I be into the well-being of its creations? There's a good question. What would God do? God would be into the well-being of its own creations, which would mean you and I would respect females and males equally and completely. We would be looking to grow our sense of responsibility in the protection thereof. We would be trying to create more loving, intelligent situations in our own lives, just like God. What would God do? Yeah. This brings me to three what-ifs. Just think of this. What if women were respected equally to men? And I don't mean equally low, I mean equally high. Just think, women are an amazing creation, right? Amazing creation, what their bodies and their minds and their hearts enable them to do, and their creative mental genius. What if we respected them? What would the world be like right now? That battle between male and female energy come to a complete stop. What if we protected our sons and daughters equally and go, no, they're not cannon fodder. They're creative expressions of the same creative, loving, intelligent power that I am. And why don't we act like that? How different would the world be? That's like having a war and nobody showed up for it. And what if we accepted responsibility for our own actions? The way we think, the way we feel, the way we speak, and the way we behave have consequences. And we go, huh. And the consequences are not just other people, and there's no magic eraser, but in fact, I'm going to experience them one way or another, at one time or another, as the effect that I have caused. I would quickly become much more skillful, just like I learned not to put my hand on a hot stove after doing it one time. You don't need too many iterations of that experience to go, you know what, the effect of that, I don't care for, and I think I'm going to avoid causing it in the future. And there we go. And all of a sudden, we would be in a place where we are growing in love and caring and nurturing. Our growth, our healing, our protection, we would be so committed to doing the same things that divine consciousness is doing. We would be committed to our growth and the growth of others on every level, of nurturing and nourishing ourselves and others on every level, of healing and protection and fulfillment of need and providing for work and survival. And we would certainly understand rhythm. night and day, seasonality, high tide, low tide, the waves, the winds, all the stuff makes sense, and the delivery of energy flows. And of course, we would understand the law of cause and effect. And as we became more skillful, more aware, more conscious of how to cause desirable results for others and ourselves, we would be getting closer and closer to what we've been designed to be: creative, loving, intelligent powers. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.